Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to our Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive every single episode of Grey's Anatomy. We're currently on season 14, episodes 12, 13, and 14. And we've done all the previous episodes. So if this is your first time listening, we highly recommend going back and starting there because we are a spoilers podcast. Actually, you should watch the show first.
Yes, watch the show first all the way to current because we spoil up into what has been released to the date of whatever.
Yeah, so...
That was terrible. I just got out of class, you guys. I don't know. My brain is fried.
It was perfect. If one episode a week isn't enough for you, we have our incredible Patreon page. I say incredible because the people who are members are so cool. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. You can get bonus episodes, Zoom hangouts. You get the episode a day early. You can call time of death. You get something called post-op, which is when we call time of death, our patrons get like a bonus 5 to 10 minutes afterwards. Today's topic is going to be about Sam and DeLuca's romance. So if you want to know about that, you have to be a patron.
Yes. Also, another great way to support us is to rate and review the podcast anywhere you listen. 5 scalpels, please. If you have recommendations or suggestions for the podcast, you can put those in on our website at www.theoncallroompod.com or you can email us at theoncallroompod@gmail.com and we will see what we can do about them.
Unless it's like new hosts.
Yeah, we can't become new people.
Although I did offer the hosting job to John just now.
Just so I can fund my life.
John did not. He did say he has hot takes.
He does. He every time he watches with me, he talks over the whole. This is really funny. We had a friend stay with us this weekend. We had a wedding, which let me just say, I know we talk about the weather a lot on here.
Well, let's talk about it.
I thought I was going to die at this wedding. It was from 4 to 9. Mm-hmm. It was probably 92 to 93 degrees, but in this pavilion, it was at least 101 degrees in there. And I decided, like an idiot, to wear Spanx and a strapless bra. So I was dying.
You were trapped.
I was dying. They had a live band. I couldn't dance. I was like, I will not. I can't. I cannot move my body. I did a lot of like, and by the way, this was like a wedding celebration. They got married last year, COVID type thing. So it wasn't like a ceremony or anything. It was like, come gather, eat some food, dance to this band. I had like 2 glasses of wine over that amount of time. They ran out of water. It was so hot. And anyway, I just, you know, that feeling like it was so hot that I was like, I can't drink an alcoholic beverage.
Oh yeah. I will.
You shot a wedding.
I will agree with you and say that, yes, I was also at a 92 degree wedding that was all outside. Mm-hmm. I got there at 1:30 until 10. I was outside.
Yeah.
And twice did I escape to the, like, had those like nice porta potties that are air conditioned. Mm-hmm. I escaped into that twice. I peed once the whole day, which tells you like how much I was sweating. And I was trying to impress this group of people because they had really good fashion and I really liked them. And I just knew if I showed up in like a cool outfit, it would give me brownie points. And it really did.
Yeah.
And so I borrowed a friend's dress, which luckily like it was, I didn't have to wear a bra with it, but I did wear like shorts underneath.
Yeah.
But it was wet.
Oh yeah. Everything
the whole dress was wet. And then I have a fanny pack and a big leather strap with 2 cameras and it was just disgusting.
Yeah. There was this one person at the wedding. My friend, I don't know how she managed this, but she walked by and this girl was flawless. And my friend Elise was like, powder fucking dry. How is she looking like that? Because we were all like
soaking.
Melting and she had like her makeup wasn't out of place and she was just like gliding across the room. And we were like, fuck you. I don't know. That's some good
makeup.
Was
your hair down?
Yeah, and I shouldn't have done that. I should have pulled it back.
It's hard, but mine was, again, because I was working, didn't matter. I literally slicked, like it was a slicked Ariana Grande bun with so much hairspray. And I looked like a thumb, but like it felt good that there was nothing hanging there.
Yeah, hanging on your shoulders. the point of this.
Oh, yeah.
Saying
what
all
is
of this.
The point of this?
Well, our
friend was in
our
town.
Friend was in town for that. And so she stayed with us. Great house guest. She's like super easy to have around. And so on Sunday, I had to watch these episodes. And so she watched them with me. And she does not watch Grey's Anatomy. And I was very happy because she didn't like do the like, what's going on?
Or yeah, who's that she person? Just you got know, to watch.
Like John does. But she just texted me today. And she said, like, that was so fun watching. She said, I loved watching Grey's with you, like watching an NBA game with Jordan.
That's incredible. That's such a funny statement. Oh my gosh.
So we are the queens of Grey's Anatomy. We are like Jordan.
Except if you ask me what happened like last in a season, I won't remember.
Oh, we will have no idea.
I was watching it with Jake and I felt really uncomfortable during the part. I don't know why when Owen and Amelia like have that sexy moment. Yeah. I don't know why. I think because it felt so fake. Like just the way. And
the way he like rips his jacket off. Yeah. We'll get to it. But yeah, no, it did feel very, that line, because we watched that too together.
Use me.
Yeah. And I was like,
I want you to use me in every way. Yeah. I felt like I had a giggle.
I know. I was like, this is Grey's Anatomy.
It felt like porn without porn.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Which wasn't this the season that Krista Vernoff was writing on again? And it was supposed to be like flirty and like love, or was that the next season? Is that season 15? I think that's season 15 actually.
Oh.
Where it was like, we're not going to be depressing anymore. We're going to like be full of love, like early Grey's.
Well, but isn't next season with Joe and her going to therapy and stuff? So that doesn't feel very...
Yeah, but Meredith and DeLuca,
oh,
I think,
okay.
Begin. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
We'll look up some articles on that later.
Yeah. But I don't know. The weeks flying by.
It's Monday.
The weeks. Well, to me, this is
The weeks.
The weeks, like, yeah, no.
It's Monday morning. Or it's not Monday morning. It's Monday.
But for me, afternoon. Mondays are my Friday. No, Mondays, if I worked...
Mondays are your Sunday.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Because Sundays are my Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't you get great. Monday scaries? Because then your week starts over.
No, I get Friday scaries or Thursday scaries.
Because you're about, because you're about to start
do a wedding.
Working.
This weekend, because we can have two weddings. So I'm on Thursday night, I'm going to be real Thursday scary.
Yeah.
I feel great. Like Mondays are my favorite day of the week.
That's funny. One of my coworkers, it's her favorite day of the week too.
I don't know why. And I'm like
that doesn't. And she goes to work on Mondays, but she like hates. I think Tuesdays.
Well, yeah, Tuesday's too far. It feels like.
And Wednesdays are tough.
Do you remember in high school Thursdays felt great? Like you were just like maybe just
almost to the weekend.
Yeah, and Fridays are just like they're just great in general.
Well, Fridays are great because for me, for 6 years I've worked a half day on Fridays, which I have already decided when I work for myself or. Whatever, I will not work Fridays.
Perfect.
Because why not? Everyone deserves a 3-day weekend.
I think you should choose not to work Mondays so that...
No, I'm not going in late until later on Mondays.
Okay, great. So, but that way, because Monday's my Sunday.
Yeah, so I would go in at like...
Perfect. That's really nice of you to do that for me specifically.
Yeah, and absolutely. So we can like hang out on Sunday nights.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, because no one wants to wake up Monday morning and live their life.
No. Okay. Do you want to just jump in? I don't have any stories.
I don't really
I feel like I have work stories, but I shot the wedding, one of my favorite weddings of my life. And so I'm just still like riding that high right now.
Yeah. No, that's great. I don't feel like I really have any stories either.
And I picked paint colors and they're beige. So like what is less exciting than that?
But I mean, it's just going to be crisp. It's going to feel so good to have your house repainted.
I can't even.
Brand new kitchen, brand new bathroom.
It's going to be like a
you
brand new house.
Shit like a queen.
I mean, I did get a squatty potty.
Oh, you did? Good.
I got what the pretty bamboo one. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I have just an Aldi plastic one.
It's like, it has two heights, which Jake refuses to use it. But it's
why
like,
is with these men? John's the same. I won't use it. Why?
I don't know. It's so dumb. Also,
like Jake would be, it's because it's Jake's time in there and he can take all
that's
the
what
time
I said. He doesn't want to shorten the amount of time. But
like
anyways,
you can still sit there if you want to.
I got a fancy one. My mom had never heard of it, if she's going to be listening to this. And I was like, Mom, I know you've seen them in people's. I was like, everyone has them now. It's not like a weird secretive
thing. Oh, you mean squatty potties in general.
Yeah, she didn't know what it was. And I was like, I'm sure you've seen it like when you show a house or something. And I was like, she probably thought it was like a child's toilet. You know how it kind of like,
yeah.
But anyways, I just don't know how you haven't heard of it at this point. All of our friends have them, don't they?
Yeah. Wasn't the original Squatty Potty, wasn't it?
Wes Tolman?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you watch the Squatty Potty, he did all the commercials.
Yeah. We went to high school with that guy.
Yeah. He's the Prince of Poop. And he did all the commercials.
Do you think he's embarrassed or proud?
I think he's proud. I mean, that video has 4 million views. So I just watched it the other day to show my mom. I was like, look, it's Wes Tolman.
Oh, because
he was like a theater all-star when we were, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God, he got every lead role, every
lead. And he was like good.
Yeah, no, he was great.
You know when someone—
I had such a crush on
him. Oh yeah, well, and when you're in the theater world, anyone who's like—
the lead.
Yeah. I just like, there's a difference between—
He was the—
Was he the Tin Man? The Tin Man.
He was the mayor in The Music Man too, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We got trouble in River City. He didn't get The Music Man though.
No, he did not get that. That was John Waringa.
Yeah, who I just saw the other day.
Oh, how's he doing?
Great.
Oh, that's really good.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
I hope neither of them do. Although Wes Tolman, you can call me.
No, you don't want that.
No, I'm totally kidding. I'm married. I'm happily married. But if I was in 9th grade, you could have called me. And I don't see why you didn't.
I know.
He never looked at me once.
Oh my God. I wish so badly that I could go back to high school theater, but with the life experience and confidence more that I have now and just fucking, because no one was good.
Because also, none of us were cool. Right. Like, sorry, Wes Tolman, but you weren't, he wasn't cool. But like in theater, it was like, oh, he's cool.
Wait, I have a story about him. I don't know. I had a surprise 16th birthday.
Did he come?
I don't think you were invited because I don't think we were.
Well, that's fine. I didn't want to come anyway.
Although it was probably the beginning of our friendship because it was Wizard of Oz year.
Okay, that's when we first became friends.
Yes. And so my mom threw me this surprise birthday and invited like so many people. And Wes Tolman came because it was those times. And he... This was like a surprise party with no alcohol because we're 16. No, was I? No, say I was 16. And like my mom is there. One of his party tricks was that he used to rap this Eminem song. Oh my God. It's that one that goes like, go crazy. Ah, you know, like.
Why do I have a memory of him doing this? There was a video of it on Facebook at one point in time.
But anyways, he like performed that for my entire birthday party.
Why did he do that? That's what I'm saying. Theater people are weird as fuck.
Except it was even weirder because that wasn't a theater party. There were like regular other friends there.
That's what I'm saying. Like it just... You leave theater and you think like, hey, I can still be this person. It's safe. It's not safe.
Remember how fun cast parties were?
Were they? I don't know.
We went to that one in Mr. Bethke's basement. That sounds creepy. He's a lovely man.
And then everyone got in the hot tub, but we left and my car broke down. Remember, I couldn't get it out of 4-wheel drive. And it was like,
we went to a gas station. It was summer. We went to a gas station. Well, then it got stuck in the winter too. There's a picture of you stuck in Ben Bartow.
I loved him too.
So did I.
Theater.
I know.
I think he's like doing really well for himself.
He had a glow up. I'm sure Lindsay Hansen is laughing at this right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lindsay was great, too. I mean, Lindsay was a cool theater person.
She was. And again, another
or
person.
Or was she? I don't know. None of us were
another
cool.
person who was good and continued on to, like, do great things.
I remember, so you weren't in high school anymore. It was our senior year, and we did The Man Who Came to Dinner, and it was, like, the first... like competition we had done, like Grand Haven had done.
A play?
Yeah.
Competed?
But, yes.
Why didn't Noises Off compete?
Well, so you had to take like a scene and
And
I remember that they chose like her scene. So she got to compete. And I had like one line. I remember I like walked out and said this dumb line. And I was so jealous that she got to like compete in her scene.
What was your line in A Christmas Carol?
This roast beast.
It was like the something.
And now the roast beast.
Wasn't your name like Mrs. Fezziwig?
Mrs. Fezziwig in A Christmas Carol.
And I was a drunk in a tunnel.
Yeah.
I drank moonshine.
And remember when you would get your costume?
They're always bad.
Oh, but it would be so exciting if they... Well, I remember it was very exciting when you were the lead because you got...
I was never the lead.
Well, let me tell you because they really...
Yeah, okay, wait. Let's pause. Bree's talking about being the lead of a play is like this. She was the lead of the musical senior year.
I was in the Because I was the lead in The Man Who Came to Dinner. I was,
what?
Yeah, and then I was the lead in the musical.
So basically...
Well, Zach McConnell was the lead, but I was like his secretary.
I graduated. Like the previous director left. The choir person became in charge. And then we paved the way for you to become the lead.
Yeah, I was Nellie Forbush. And I washed that man right out of my
I saw you in that.
I thrived. There's a DVD of that that I will not let anyone see.
I saw it live.
I don't know. Because I haven't watched it. And so I'm like, I don't even know what like happened.
If you give us $100 a month, you can watch it.
You know what's weird is like I have like a lot of memories of things. I've realized recently my memories are going out
it's
the
really
window.
Sad.
They're just going. And like, I can't remember what it felt like to live in a certain apartment where I used to like remember those things I just don't. But like, I remember this one specific scene one night singing only me on stage. It was closing night and it was towards the end of the play. And I was just
out.
I was like, tears, you know, like, because I was calling out to my man. And I, like, have that feeling in my bones of, like, world, this is me.
Oh, I would have killed to, like, I want to watch that. Because, you know, the difference, though, like, you watch real acting, like, on TV.
Yeah.
But then, like, the way that I know that I acted in plays was, like...
You were in the theater.
Well, yeah, it'd be like, what do you mean, Daddy? You know, like... That was me as in The Music Man as Zanita Shin. Totally was my dad. Because I was the mayor's daughter.
Oh my God, you're right. It all comes full circle to Wes Tolman. How many times can we say Wes Tolman? I hope everyone looks this person up, messages him, and says, listen to this podcast.
I'd be so mortified.
I wouldn't really care. He's probably...
I mean, we have commented on each other's things on Facebook.
Oh, you have? So you're still in communication.
We're Facebook friends, yeah.
He's not Facebook friends with me because he doesn't know who I am.
I bet he does.
I bet he doesn't. It doesn't matter. This was how many years ago? 15?
Oh, I can't. I graduated in 07. I can't do
but it, all that high school stuff, it still sticks, you know? Do you think it sticks for anyone else or just the people who work cool?
I don't know. I think that I talk about it a lot and like I'm married to someone who went to my high school, best friends with someone who went to my high school. So I think it lives on for us a little bit longer.
Yeah. But does that, because I feel like John does not talk about high school.
No. He should. It's fun.
Yeah, it's funny.
It makes me feel better about myself now.
I don't know. I think I like...
You did not peak in high school.
Are we sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
You haven't peaked yet. It's coming.
I'm about to peak, everyone. I'm about to peak.
I think I peaked in like I think 2020 was my peak year. Now it's all downhill.
I've yet to
I had really good hair in 2020.
You still have
I
nice
didn't
hair.
Work.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thriving. Summer of 2020, besides all of the death, was like a great summer for me.
For you personally. I mean, you just, I mean, the world was on fire. But
I just danced and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good year for you.
I had a good year. It's fine. All right. Let's get into it.
I'm sorry to everyone who just had to go down that rabbit hole with us about our high school days.
We're going to talk about season 14.
Yeah.
Episode 12, 13, and 14. Harder, better, faster, stronger. Or should I say harder, better, faster? Wait, no. Do it, break it.
The theater.
Oh, that's a different. That's like
harder,
a remix of
better, faster, stronger.
Yeah, that's different.
No, that don't kill
Kanye.
Me. Yeah.
You really got, you really got a hold on me and games people play.
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
We've all heard the quote, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Easy for Thomas Edison to say. He had all the good ideas. Inspiration is not some mystical, unattainable thing. Inspiration is a seed. That seed turns into vision. That vision turns into a goal. And hopefully, that goal turns into victory. I said, hopefully, Meredith Grey.
The longest surgery on record lasted for 4 days straight. A team of surgeons rotated in and out, holding scalpels for sometimes 18 hours at a stretch. Try holding anything in your hand for 18 hours. Now imagine you're also holding a human life. When you hold on to anything for too long, your muscles conform to the position you're holding. Stop laughing.
No, I keep going.
That applies to the heart and the mind as well as the hand. The pain you know is coming is what makes it easier to just keep holding on. Meredith Grey.
I was just thinking.
What you'd hold on to for 18? No, oh.
High school. Try holding on to it. Now imagine when you hold on to anything for too long, your muscles conform to the, like.
We're going to conform to
high school. Yeah, we got to let go of high school. We got to let it go. Okay. For surgeons, every day is game day. We've trained, we've practiced, we know the rules. Unlike the laws of science, the rules of life aren't always clear. Some rules are unwritten. The rest are still unwritten. Some rules are open to interpretation. And just when we think we have a handle on the rules, something comes along that totally changes the game. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup. We have Kimmy Park, recurrent low-grade glioma.
Harry, cirrhosis.
Michelle Velez, gender dysphoria.
Tyler Richardson, blunt abdominal trauma, penetrating injury, burns, scalp laceration, lacerated mesenteric artery.
Zach Richardson, abdominal bleeding.
Sarah Maurer, hematoma, amputated ear, ventricular septal defect.
Brett, of course that guy's name is Brett, dislocated shoulder.
Chris Duran, tibia fracture, compartment syndrome.
And Andrew DeLuca, grade 3 concussion.
Rounds.
All right, I'll read this first one. I basically summed up what everyone is trying to
into the research.
Yes, I can't think of the word. Submit. Like,
yes.
Okay, some of them are written medically, some are written in my interpretation.
Love it.
Meredith and Joe are going to use the same science behind the spleens that regenerated to grow livers inside of patients. Period. Bailey, rectal access port for hydrocolonoscopy. It's a better and less painful colonoscopy method. Jackson, create a better gender reaffirming surgery for those who identify as a woman using the peritoneum. Maggie, LVADs with magnetic interfaces so that they can charge through the skin without ports. Richard, the PATH pen, identifies different types of cancer on contact during surgery and helps remove it instantly. Owen, not doing it. He doesn't like research.
Of course he doesn't.
Arizona and Karina, they want to help laboring mothers. The U.S. has the worst rates of maternal mortality and she wants to fix it. And then Amelia and Alex, MRI guided ultrasound ablation of inoperable gliomas. They did not get in.
All right. Then we have Maggie is still dating Clive, the stockbroker, and he does not understand medical talk. There are a ton of moments together between Maggie and Jackson, as he cannot believe that Clive, who he calls Chive, is still around. Amelia wants to host a game night to get to know Clive and Jackson. Oh, sorry. Clive and Jackson is going to bring his date, Priya. They both talk about dating outside of the hospital while it's very clear they're not enjoying it. Poor Clive can't keep up with any of them at game night because he is not a doctor. And then the doorbell rings at game night and it's Clive's. Yes, guys, it's his wife. Jackson tells Clive to forget her address and delete her number. Then after leaving with Priya, Jackson comes back to Maggie's and admits that he's constantly thinking about her, wants to take her on a date, and then him and Maggie kiss.
Maybe one of the sexiest scenes.
We'll talk about it.
Meredith does not have the patent to do the science she needs to complete. To do the science. That's how good I am at this. To do the science she needs to complete her research. She is relying on a very old Spanish doctor to hand it over to her. That's what it said. I know.
But this is funny.
Dr. Cerrone. We learned that later. She avoids the phone call all day. And eventually when the doctor calls again, Andy Herrera from the fire department answers the phone and pretends to be Meredith. She was able to convince the doctor to come the States for a meeting with Meredith. We then find out that Dr. Cerrone has died and his daughter will be meeting with her. It turns out that Meredith knows her and calls her Auntie Marie. She was one of Alice's best friends. She doesn't want to sell the patent to her because she can't prove it will work. Meanwhile, Meredith already knows that it will work, so she ends up showing the mouse to Marie, admitting that she used the polymer without permission. Marie says that they will talk business after she gets some rest, and before that happens, Richard comes to Meredith and tells her that Marie hated Ellis. Meredith runs into her house looking for her mom's journals for answers.
Whew. Our first crossover episode starts with Andy Herrera coming in with her hand inside a patient's body. Did that remind you?
We're going to talk about it.
Okay. She sends Ben Warren back to the station, even though he wants to stay in the action. Ben has a hard time understanding his boundaries that he is no longer a surgeon. Richard tells him to stay in the waiting room or go back to the firehouse. Ben has a conversation with Bailey in her office about how he never stopped to think about what he was going to be giving up. Bailey tells him that he thought about it plenty. He just never stopped to feel it.
Amelia brings Tom Karasik to Grace Sloan to help on the Kimmy case. He flirts with Amelia the entire time, and Sam and DeLuca are constantly weird and flirty with each other. The study isn't moving forward too quickly, and at first Tom doesn't realize why this is a problem until he learns that there is a real patient who needs their help. We find out that Tom has a soft spot for Kimmy, and when him and Amelia are arguing about the unrealistic timeline they are working with, they end up coming with a solution to use multiple beams to target the tumor. It doesn't work at first, but it's the closest they've ever gotten to a solution. Meanwhile, Kimmy convinces Alex to get her authorized on taking marijuana to help with the nausea. Alex gets this to happen, and then Kimmy's aunt yells at him and fires him off the case. I then needed to add that eventually Alex convinces the aunt that it was okay and it was the right choice and all's well there, as far as her eating and not throwing up.
Yes. April has been drinking a lot and getting hungover every day for work. Getting hungover.
I know. I meant to retype that.
It's totally fine. She's hungover pretty much every day for work that she doesn't have Harriet. She kicks Vic out of her room in the morning and says says they have a rule of only seeing each other when it's dark out. Jackson tries to check in with April, but she says he is not her dad. She comes to the game night and comments to Maggie and Jackson that they're finally a thing now. Tom Karasik arrives at the game night, and he ends up being April's partner. April is being really hardcore toward each other partner there and takes the rules insanely seriously, and she has a huge speech about things being meaningless and that nothing matters anymore.
She goes home with Tom. I forgot to.
Yeah. And then Tom makes sure that she's not driving. And she said, are you offering me a ride?
Yeah.
Like both types of rides. Then they leave.
What's your first note?
April, .. Oh, slept with an intern.
I wrote, oh, wow, Arizona's leg.
Oh.
There's a note where, or a note. There's a clip before the April scene where Arizona's like reading in bed and there's her leg is propped up.
I didn't notice that.
So nice of them to remind us that happened.
Yeah, seriously. Then I was like, April's clearly going through things. April is hungover. Like
she has the banana bag.
Yeah, uh-huh. My next note is this girl singing Cabaret is super annoying.
Okay, yeah.
Let's talk about the theater.
Okay, oh my God, great. Wow, great topic. Yeah. We didn't even know. Here's the thing. The story of Kimmy is very... For some reason, Tom talking to her made me feel very, like, feelings about it. Like, I like a long patient case. I feel like they're always really good. I think this one's going to hit me at some point. However, there's two things I have a problem with.
It's just my toilet taking off. Oh.
One is that I don't think Alex would be amused by her singing. Like,
no,
he's smiling.
Yeah.
And then later he's singing with her.
That was shocking.
Like, these feel very out of character for Alex.
No. Yeah. I mean, yes. Absolutely.
So that felt really weird to me. She was, like, too charming. I was like, stop
singing. He would maybe be like... I think he would be kind to her with her singing.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't be not kind.
For sure, but, like, he was looking on, like, so admiring of this kid
singing.
Yes,
like, he cared about theater.
Yeah, that I just don't feel like... He would be like, all right, let's get back in bed.
Exactly,
you know?
Yes. That's how I thought it was going to be. And instead it was like, look at this beauty gem. It was super weird. I don't know. What do you want to talk about first?
That's...
The research? I guess I would be curious, which one do you think is the most interesting?
Mm.
Like, which one was you're like, oh, wow, that's crazy cool.
Well, Meredith is pretty crazy. Do you remember who wins? Because I do.
I do know that Meredith does grow livers, but I don't know.
Do you want me to tell you? I won't.
Kind of. I mean, I think Arizona's is very important, but it wasn't like the most interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is means nothing about like what I actually feel about things in life. I thought Richard's pen was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was dope.
I was like,
I also thought Jackson's
like,
is really great.
Or the spray on skin before the gender affirm, or both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah. Both of his ideas. I was like, can't he have two?
Yeah. They were really good. I mean, I think everyone's. I mean, Owen's cracks me up. I'm like, not doing it. Nope. Research is bullshit.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Richards.
I care about drama.
Here's the thing about Richards, though, is that, like, I'm like, okay, do you know how to make this pen do it? Or are you just, like, you're like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a pen? That,
yeah.
Because
it would be cool, Richard.
Right. I think that Bailey wins. I remember there being a lot to do with her
okay.
thing.
All right.
But I also didn't quite understand what hers was.
I'm not going to tell you. I can't wait until we get to it.
I loved Richard... Schmidt thinking that Bailey was like trying to have sex with him.
Oh yeah, like I'm very uncomfortable.
But I love when he like stood up for his boundaries. He's like, I know that you are someone in power, but I just am liking Schmidt a little bit more at this time around. I am too.
Yeah. Maybe let's just quickly talk about the Meredith and thing.
Okay. At first I thought it was like boring story, but then I kind of got like, ooh.
Yeah. And so it's very clear that like she just gave her all the information.
Right. She told her it works. She showed her how.
Yes. And she owns the patent.
Yes. And I feel what I was trying to remember, I think this is a guess, listeners, because I don't quite remember. I feel like Ellis actually came up with it and then Marie stole it. And that is the fight between Ellis and Marie.
Oh.
Something like that. Because they're looking back in the journals. And yes. I feel like Meredith is going to find that Ellis came up with it first.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That's my guess.
That kind of sounds familiar. But I don't remember. I just like,
I didn't.
I thought it was annoying.
I didn't like that lady. Mare.
Yeah, I just thought it was annoying. The like Auntie Marie or whatever. I was also, okay, this bothered me. Because tell me that you don't know your mother's best friend's last name. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, that was confusing how she didn't realize that.
Even at 8 years old, I knew my mom's friend's last name.
Yeah, that part didn't, that was.
It did not make any sense.
That was convenient.
Me. Yeah.
The really only part I, she drove me nuts. The way Meredith was acting with her was weird. I got a weird vibe from her. I loved when Joe was like, she is not your mare.
No.
You know, like, which I thought Joe was good at like bringing her back kind of like, to the surface or whatever. I will say though, it did get exciting for me at the end, like the way Richard is like, oh no, like that they were, you know, they were not friends. And then her like digging through the journals, that felt fun.
Yeah. I really loved, we'll get into like the Maggie and Jackson thing, but I love that like Meredith came home, did not pay any attention to what was going on.
Yeah.
It was just like, Maggie, I need you. And I also love that Maggie's just kind of like, I gotta go.
I know. It was almost better for that kiss though, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's good that it had to be kept waiting then.
Yes.
Although, like we said before, if they just banged it out, they would have realized they actually just had a lot of sexual tension. So maybe if Meredith hadn't come in, they could have had sex and then been like, we shouldn't date and get lost in the mist.
I mean, but they do date for a while.
That's
not
true.
Like they, just because they don't end up together doesn't mean they shouldn't be in a relationship. Just because a relationship fails doesn't mean you don't learn things from it.
That's true. I try to think if I have anything else on Meredith with the, well, okay, let's talk about Andy Herrera because this has to do with like, cause she talked on the phone in Spanish or whatever. So this is the, like to me, I think the first crossover. It's when the Station 19 started, and because we're seeing that Ben is still a rookie, Andy is like the chief, or her dad is the chief of the firehouse. Okay, two things that I thought was interesting. Basically, I feel like the Shondaland is introducing us to Andy, us as Grey's viewers, and they're giving her such an entrance that is so reflective of what Meredith did. So it's like they're trying to show us, like, look at these two strong women. They're so similar.
Oh, that's funny because Well, and I don't really watch the show, but I was thinking, oh, she's like the paramedic and not like, I didn't think of her like Meredith. I thought of her like the paramedic who put like her hand with the bomb.
I guess I thought about when Meredith ends up putting her hand in, you know, like, cause Meredith ends up taking that girl's place.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
I just thought it was interesting. And also I'm jumping around, but in that episode also is, I believe so, or was that the second one? The like Clive having a wife was very Addison Derrick. Like there was like such a few little recycled things, you know?
Is there anything about that in Notes and Trivia?
I didn't read it yet.
Okay.
But I guess to me, it felt like they want us to watch Station 19. So they're bringing in this woman who is a strong woman. Meredith likes her. They clearly get along. Mm-hmm. They have this relationship during the day. I also love, you know, that she learns about Meredith's call that she has to take. And she ends up, we learn she is, well, she speaks Spanish, obviously. And does that phone call for her. I don't know. I liked their relationship. I didn't watch Station 19 though. So
yeah. I think it's interesting how like Ben clearly is having a hard time like letting go of his surgeon job and like, yeah, I don't know. It felt, to me, it felt good because I feel like we don't see Ben that often anymore. And I think I had a note about this, like, where, like, I feel like Ben is consistently, like, in this season. And so I wondered, like, when does that go away? And that must be soon because, like, the show now is
in existence. Yes. Right, right.
Because we'll still get Ben, like, once in a while. I know, and especially in, like, crossover episodes. But, like, these past few episodes, we've still had Ben. And so this felt like kind of the last, like, hurrah.
Yeah. Well, and he, yeah, like him wearing the fire uniform.
Yeah.
Him. I also thought what Bailey said to him, the like, you definitely thought about it. You just didn't give yourself a chance to feel it. That feels very like that sentence can be applied to so many things. Like in life that we like, we know we're doing something, but we don't pause and like let us, our, so like when she was like, I'm going to feel my day right now.
Yeah. We didn't put into the, the notes about Bailey coming back from,
right.
Her vacation.
Yes.
What she kept saying. And then finally screamed that she had a
heart attack.
But I thought that was good too. Like we can kind of see that Bailey's trying to like implement different things into her life to manage her stress and get steps in and whatever.
Right.
And be heart healthy or whatever. But Richard.
Oh, he just, he's
that part where
he hovers.
That part where, Bailey's like, I've been cleared by Dr. Pierce or whatever. And like, she walks away and Richard to Pierce is like, what? Like, why did you do that? I had a lot to do today. And she's like, okay. And he's like, and now I have to spend my day following her. It's just like such a like chief, you know?
Like this, their relationship. And she's like, no, you don't. Like I cleared her, but I do. It's like, I hate that he does that, but I also feel like it would be reversed the same way. Bailey would do the same thing for him. Like, I don't think it's so much of like a woman thing. Like he doesn't trust.
No.
I think it's a, their relationship is just like they're each other's person and they like
their work husband and wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, duh, she's not ready and she's going to push herself too hard and I need to be there for her and follow her around all day.
One thing that I had a thought about Ben, I was watching this with Jake and you know, Ben is talking to Andy and she's like, why did you leave this? Like, this is like you had, which she says, you know, like we have a front row seat and then we don't know what happens, which is like, I'm always like to Jake, like, isn't that hard?
Yeah.
You like, don't know if they live or die half the time, whatever. And he says that he left to do more. Okay. So Ben tells her about like the time that he cut the person open with a clipboard to open someone up and that he got like punished for it. And that, in this job he's at, he wants to be able to do whatever it takes to save a person's life. And I said to Jake, I was like, would you be allowed to use a clipboard to open? And he's like, no. He was like, he's like, I would be in so much trouble. So like, and like Jake is a medic. Like firefighters don't have to be medics. Like they're, you know, they're, and so I was like, Ben, I still don't think
this is right.
Doesn't mean you can take every single chance.
Right. Right. Just because you have training as a
doctor, or,
doctor
surgeon.
Or surgeon, surgical intern or resident, I think there are still like ethics within your job
Absolutely.
That like you have to follow by being under, you know?
Yeah.
Just because you have like previous knowledge doesn't mean you can use a clipboard in the
right.
field.
Like, I feel like I'm sure there's like the thing where if you don't have a phone and you're trapped and you have to, like, there's no one's coming for you. No options. But I feel like a lot of the times in these kind of first responder things, like they're getting them to bring them somewhere.
Yeah. Dude, remember that episode where a car comes through Joe's bar?
Yeah. That's, we haven't seen that yet.
No, I just thought about that.
Is it still?
Because Ben Warren's like,
oh yeah.
Like
all over
trying
it.
To, yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I thought that was interesting that he's like, I got in trouble for cutting someone open with a clipboard, but now I can do it.
Yeah. It's like, no, Ben, you can't.
But whatever.
Okay. What else do we want to talk about? I want to just mention, you already mentioned that Krev was singing, but I need to mention that they were singing Danny Boy.
What is
oh,
that song?
Oh, Danny Boy.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thanks. It's a like Irish song.
We can talk about Kimmy. It's not really a full round, but like,
that burger looked gross.
Oh, that she was
eating?
It
looked dry.
Also, I was confused. First, it was like she wants marijuana, which I assume THC. Then it comes out to being like, it's just CBD. And like, girl, I've had CBD. It's not strong enough if you have cancer and are nauseous. Like,
no, it would have to be THC.
Right, especially if she needed approval.
Yeah. So, but I don't know at this point, was CBD
legal? This was 2017 or something. Yeah,
have been definitely out in Seattle, CBD.
Yeah, it had to be THC.
Well, it wasn't about it being legal. It was about her being a minor.
Well, she said something to the girls, or she said something like, it's an oil, like I can't even get high. And I turned to Jake, I go, I've gotten real fucked up on the oil before when I was on that airplane. Yeah. I'm sure I talked about it in the podcast. It was within the last 5 years. And I used a dropper instead of like a third of a dropper.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the
Didn't
airplane.
You feel like you were going to die?
I was sitting on my hands because I thought I was going to like, they were floating. And I wanted to breathe into the barf bag or like use it. But then I was a middle seat. And I was like, the people next to me are going to think I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
And then I was texting I texted you.
I think you did text me.
I texted you and my friend Casey. And I ended up watching Parks and Rec, but it was an episode about weed. And I was like, everyone knows. Like, I was
that's the worst feeling when you're like, everyone knows.
Arizona to Michigan.
Because like, nobody cares.
It was 6 a.m. and I didn't eat. And I thought I would just take a little. I also thought it was just CBD. I didn't know that what I had was THC. So I flew with it. And anyways, I just wanted to fall asleep.
And I did.
And when I woke up, we were still on the runway. Like, it had, like, time did not happen.
You blacked the fuck out.
It was so bad, Brie. It was so bad.
That is, and then that's that is my nightmare.
Then I landed in Minneapolis, and that airport is a mall, and it was super confusing.
Super confusing.
And the lounge I had access to was like a golf course lounge. Like, there was like golf. And I was like, am I high? Like, it was so weird. And I just slept. I had like a 6-hour layover.
That sounds awful.
It was. I haven't done the tincture like that ever again.
Well, because you had an awful experience. It was like an early flight too. We were flying to Arizona, but we were waiting to board and we were in Grand Rapids. And this man walked up to and we all four of us looked at each other. We're like, that guy is fucked up. Like, he was so high and you could tell he was so anxious. Like, and he was regretting the choice that he made to smoke before that plane.
He popped an edible probably.
Yeah, and he was just like holding his bag really close and kind of looking around like, oh fuck. We're like, he's going to have a bad flight.
I had to ask the flight attendant for snacks like 4 times because I needed food.
Yeah.
I was going to tell the flight attendant that I was high.
I'm high.
Yeah, and I didn't feel good. And everyone was like, don't do that.
Would you have gotten in trouble?
I don't know.
I
thought maybe she would have given me a better seat because I was middle seat back row.
Oh.
I couldn't recline and I was like stuck. It was so funny.
So anyway, this girl, Kimmy, it could not have been CBD.
No.
Because CBD, like, you just feel a little, not even anything really.
Yeah. So it had to have been THC. I just really liked the Tom interaction. I'm also wondering, is this the case? Okay, my prediction is Kimmy dies, and this is somehow the case that Tom tells the story about his kid who died. I think.
To April?
To someone. He says it to someone.
He tells. I don't want to ruin this for you, but this is how April gets out of her thing.
Right. Okay. So yeah, it has something to do with April and him.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't have to do with Kimmy at all.
Okay.
But I feel like the Kimmy thing sparks something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did appreciate though, like, I do think that like it's good to be hopeful, like Amelia and Alex were like, no, let's try to figure this out. I also think sometimes it is important to be like Tom and is like, sure, this might happen someday, but like not on this timeline. And like everything you're doing right now is not helping this girl.
Which, yeah, like being a little more realistic about it.
Yeah. But then they did think of something. So,
yeah, I mean, Tom decides he's brilliant.
Yeah.
A bunch of mini lasers coming into one thing.
I don't hate him. I'm enjoying his presence on this show. What does this say about me?
I think he's funny. When he shows up to that party and he goes, I love a game of charades. And then he does the drink thing and Maggie goes, drink. And he says, yes, I'd love one. Like, that was fucking comedic genius.
I don't want to compare him to Christina, but we have not had a sharp, fast-witted person.
Yeah.
Like a kind of cynical character. I feel like Alex is cynical, but he's not quick. Like, this is like, his humor no one can ever be Christina, but he brings a sort of quickness and like doesn't want to be friends with everyone vibe that Christina had.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
I don't know. People, that is a hot take. I think people on the pod are going to be yelling at me.
Probably, but I can see what you mean that there are like similar vibes.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm just thinking about him and like, now I'm going on a caressing thing.
Wow.
But like, I just am thinking about him and like the way he treated Teddy, how he totally gets fucked over by that.
He like really was vulnerable and opened his heart to Teddy.
And that he ends up fucking quitting because he has too much unlearning to do and feels like he needs to like, although that part was kind of weird how he goes with Jackson. Yeah. But I do think he's like a good person.
Yeah.
I love
that he calls Karev Elvin.
It's funny. He's just, yeah.
I also, that scene where he's talking about Sam's ass or something.
Oh,
I said gross at the same time DeLuca said gross.
Yeah, I felt like, gross by that.
Yes. I said it out loud and DeLuca was like, gross. Was like, oh, that's really funny.
He said something about juicy or like something like that ass. I was like, no.
Yeah,
also wonder though, he looks so much older to me.
He does.
And I don't actually wonder, like, I wonder if he is.
You don't actually wonder.
Like, you know what I mean? I wonder, I'm going to look up his page and see like if they have an age written for what he should be, you know? Because sometimes I think it could be, do they have ages on Grace? Do we even?
I think so.
I'll keep looking.
Yeah. There were also those like two boys, Zach and Tyler, that whole thing was
going
on.
The rugby boys?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They were dumb.
Wait,
who are you talking about?
No, those boys with the mom, they were brothers.
Yes.
That whole thing was going on. I don't even really remember.
That mom had good acting though when she found out the boys were okay. Like when she had that monologue about like they're only 10 and 14, like I have to work. I can't leave them alone and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about April?
Yes. Wait.
Or did you have more about Tom and Kimmy and Amelia?
No, I don't think I do. Okay, yes. Let's move to April.
I feel like Jackson's worry is warranted, you know, like I would see how she is and like, well, it's also hard cause he's like judging and seeing, but I think like, cause you know, Arizona at first is like, just let her, like she's having fun. Callie did this too. But then like Arizona sees her at the bar.
That reminded me of Christina, where she was up on the bar
pouring the drinks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we know that Christina was dealing with PTSD in that moment. So, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, fuck, this isn't good. This isn't just like working through something or letting loose after work. This is like, oh.
Right. The interns call her the party.
Yeah.
And she... I love when she comes in with sunglasses on, though, to, like, hang the rules of the research, which, like, she's hungover, but she still knows her shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like, these are the rules. Read them, you idiots. Like,
yeah, I think it's when Jackson sees her with the banana bag that he's like, what?
Yeah.
You have to work the next day. It's, like, one thing when you're an intern. It's another thing when you are an attending, like, we moved past that phase in our life. And I think he is really concerned for her. And I don't think it's condescending. I think it's out of genuine care for her.
Right. I thought it was that way too. She's clearly reading it as condescending.
Yeah. And like, you're not my dad.
You're Harriet's dad, but you're not mine.
Yeah.
How she acted at game night though made me so... That game night to me was almost more uncomfortable than like other... than the dinner party with Penny.
That game night was so fucking uncomfortable.
That would be my... Like, I felt like I wonder... A, because April is aggressive.
Maggie was being weird as fuck.
laughing
at everything Clive said. And like, that was extremely uncomfortable.
Priya was normal.
Priya seemed super normal. Jackson seemed like kind of uncomfortable, but then when April walks in, he's like, I brought my own drink and has her own fit. It's like, oh, fuck.
Though for Jackson, it's like when she comes, she's like, baby mama.
You know? Yeah.
But like, that's literally his ex-wife, baby mama, and then the girl that he's actually in love with. How uncomfortable.
And then someone he's dating.
Right. And then like seeing Tom try to take April home and then see Clive and Maggie. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. And like having that boundary of like, I'm sure Jackson didn't want Tom and April to go home together. Probably not because he, you know, wants to be with April, but just like cares for her. And that is all complicated and I don't know. It was an extremely awkward evening.
It was horrible to watch.
Yeah. That part where I'm not as bad as April, but I can become that person playing games where I'm like, no, time's up. Doesn't count. We win. Like, I can get that way because I love to win. And in fact, all I do is win.
Win.
No matter what. I have flipped a board of sequence before because, like, I haven't won. And I'm trying to be better about it because it's just a dumb game. But for some reason, I get real heated in games.
My problem with games with people, specifically Mexican Train, the Domino's game, is that people all have different rules. You know, like, their houses.
Yeah. Because we've played dominoes together and you're like, that's not how we play. And I'm like, well, this is
which is in fine. My home, like, I believe when you're in the person's home,
yeah,
you should play by their rules. But what irks me is when some people are playing with me in my home and I'm like, no, I'm sorry, that is how, like,
yeah,
something about the other rules thing gets like, it really hits at my Enneagram one.
Yeah, like, you're like, no, this is how we do it. Yeah. I know. That's why I like almost like creative, like, fun game, like a heads up or something. Yeah. Cause like, whatever. But when you start like, yeah, you know what game I fucking hate?
What?
Monopoly. Oh, I lose every.
You just gotta buy everything you land on.
I buy everything every time and I always go bankrupt. It's like my life. I buy everything every time and I go bankrupt.
That's what Jake and I played when we had COVID the first time, like in 2020. We played the Nintendo version. I think we played like 100 games.
During COVID Christmas, we played. Yeah, my sisters and I were playing Monopoly Christmas morning. Rachel had to go make breakfast. I was bankrupt. I was like, you know, selling everything
off.
Do your
friends make you play until you fully lose?
Yeah, so I was selling everything off. And then Rachel was like, you can take, and Rachel was winning. She's like, you can take over mine. And I fucking bankrupted my sister. I just am not, like, somehow I can't play the game.
Interesting.
So.
I love Settlers of Catan.
I haven't played that in a long time.
I also love Wingspan. It's a new game Jake and I play. It's about birds.
Great.
It's
lovely.
And this other game that we play called Splendor. I hate fucking euchre.
Oh, you do?
Because I feel like
I haven't played euchre.
I feel like I don't get it. And in Michigan, like, if you're at a house and they're all playing euchre and you don't want to play, like, you get shunned out of the state.
Yeah.
It's such a Michigan thing.
Euchre is very similar, I feel like, to like spades.
Right, which I can't heart spades. I don't know all the rules.
Yeah, I have to every time reteach you and every time you don't want to play and I always make you play on like New Year's. I'm like, no, we're playing hearts.
I do like it. I just wish I could remember and retain the rules.
Well, I can't even really remember them either. I always have to look them up. And then you play a couple rounds and it's fine.
Yeah. One night, years ago, you and I played Farkle.
Oh, Farkle is so much
we
fun.
We bought it, but I don't know how to play it. I'll teach you.
That one's fun.
We played that for a long time.
You know what game is really fun?
What?
Cranium.
Oh, yeah. Although in high school, it was girls versus boys Cranium. And the girls beat the boys. And the boys got literally so mad, they left the house.
See, like, I get that feeling of like, fuck you.
Eric, Danny, and Nick Ronsky. I feel like I'm missing something. They literally just got up and left.
Yeah, that's how I feel when John beats me at Mario Kart on Nintendo 64.
For my wedding, Eric got me Cranium as a joke. A lot of years later.
And it's like, why does it matter?
The Play-Doh one was always my favorite.
Oh, yeah, where you got the sculpting one, but it was called something. A skadoodle or something?
I also love the game. It's people call it Celebrity Salad Bowl. That game is really fun.
Yeah.
We should play that.
We should just play games.
We should have fucking game nights.
Yeah, why aren't... John loves game. Don't play Flora and Fauna, though. I hate that game.
I don't know that.
That's where you have to... I swear we've played that. John's made you play that, where you have to, like, guess how long a rhinoceros is. Oh. And John, I swear to God, has memorized the whole game. And so he'll be like... and then he'll always get it right and he'll like fin.
No.
Whatever.
We'll do game night. Jake and I have a membership to that Blue Bridge board games.
You have memberships?
Yeah, it's like $20 for the whole year and you can rent board games.
Oh, that's fun renting them.
Because they're expensive.
Yeah, like, and then you can decide if you like it and you want to buy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways.
Wow.
Okay, game night. It was awkward. Okay, let's talk about Maggie Jackson. That's like the last good.
Well, before I just want to quickly say. I was like excited to meet Dr. Caudry a bit. She's the intern.
Oh yeah. Who worked with Owen.
Yeah. And I feel like we haven't seen much of her except for when she annoyingly like was like, you're beautiful
to Jackson.
Yeah. But she had that like beautiful like line about her religion when like the patient was bleeding out and she took her hijab off to like
use it as a tourniquet.
Yeah. And Owen said something like, I'm surprised you did that or whatever. And she was like, my like religion is about service. And I don't know. I just thought it was like a nice story.
Yeah. I loved, he like got it cleaned for her, returned mm-hmm. it. I also love that she said like, I don't know what I would have done if the patient hadn't yes. lived. And Owen says you would have been fine. Like, yeah. like I feel like Owen saw in her that like she can do this job. If only she'd stayed on the show. Where are all these people now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk okay. about Maggie?
Maggie and Jackson.
I have nothing to say about Clive. He's like,
God, that would just suck so bad.
To be Clive or to be Maggie?
To be Maggie.
Oh yeah.
Like it would just be so embarrassing. I love how she's like, I'm a homewrecker.
Yeah. It was awful. Okay. Jackson was so sexy to me in so many ways. One, when he said to Clive, like he said something like forget her address and delete her phone number.
Yeah.
Just the like taking charge.
Get out of here. Don't ask for forgiveness.
Didn't make Maggie do any of that. Did that for her. And yeah, that was just a convenient way to get rid of Clive, I feel like.
A super convenient way
Very
to get rid
Addison,
of
Addison, Derek. I mean, like, I felt like they're throwing in some things.
Yeah. It was sad to me, though, that, like, they were having this, like, great sex and, like, hanging out all the time. And then just to be blindsided of, like, is Clive here? And then I'm his wife.
I loved when Maggie was talking to Richard about it, though, and she says something like, my mom's last words were for me to be more slutty. And like, she's like, she's who I would have talked to about this. And then he was like, made that face. She's like, yeah, I guess like, I shouldn't tell you about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, dance because lessons. We do have to talk about the salsa dancing in Joe's bar.
Yeah.
And just like a one, two. One, two. And that was the scene.
Yeah, it
like,
that was it. End scene. Happy birthday, Catherine.
Yeah. Was that ridiculous? I feel like it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. Ooh, someone's here to refill our wine. Will you open the other bottle? You can talk. I don't want any more of that one.
Yeah, can you open another bottle, please?
That one that I brought?
Thank you.
You can talk. It's Marge filling the wine.
Oh,
that's
Marge.
Marge is filling our wine. Where is Marge?
She's upstairs on the guest bed. Okay. I do think Jackson was like sexy in some moments, but also, oh, thank you. But the, thank you, Marge. Abby brought a bottle. It's on the counter. Wow, that's a big glass of wine.
I get a glass of that.
Thank you. But the like slow way he talks of like,
take you out to dinner, buy you dinner.
I don't know.
Okay, but if he was doing that to you, would you feel differently? Or would
probably,
you,
or yeah. I might be like,
I'd laugh.
Laugh, like, because it was uncomfortable
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
I feel like that is like Jackson, or not even Jackson, like Jesse Williams, like go to sexy voice.
And oh,
I'm
for
like,
sure.
I'm like, is it that sexy?
I don't know. I think I felt for Maggie and him a release of fucking finally.
Yeah. When they finally kiss, I mean, and it was right at that beautiful moment during the song.
Yeah, the song was great.
And it was like, it was perfect. It was brilliant. That was a 10 out of 10 for me. But I'm just
the
saying.
The lead up.
The
yeah.
lead up. And I'm not even saying it was 100% bad.
Thank you,
it
Marge.
Was.
I think it makes me think of it's not the same. Because sometimes when I'm like, oh, that was really good for Grace. But what I'm. Like a different version of that scene that I'm thinking, it is different. It's like Derek walking slowly closer to Meredith in the Candle of Houses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
being like,
yeah,
you know, this is our living room. This is like, you know, whatever. Like, that's our bedroom.
Yeah.
I did also appreciate, though, on his conscience that he did break up with Priya before he came back. Which bold move also. Jake was like, how the hell does someone have the confidence, he goes, to break up with one hot chick and then make out with another the same night?
Yeah,
I was like,
Jake,
you have to just pretend you have that. And he goes, I can't.
Well, he can't, because that would mean he would have to break up with
no,
you.
No, but just, I want him to have the confidence that like he would have done it. No, would've. I'm the second woman.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm not the first. I want you to break up with me and go find
someone else. And then tell me about it.
Yeah.
No, I thought the scene itself, like the kiss scene, was like it has been building for episodes. And
which
it was
we
such,
need a build.
It was such a sweet relief. And it did make me happy that they didn't go have sex.
Yeah, right.
You know, like he could have lifted her up and taken her upstairs, but like Meredith coming in made it like, oh my God, they had this very romantic kiss. And he's like, I guess I'll call you. And what's the next episode going to be like?
Keep
you know?
The tension building.
Yes.
Speaking of kisses.
Yeah.
Can we talk about, really quick, it wasn't around, but Owen and Amelia.
Oh my God.
Well, I love the notion that Amelia just misses sex.
Oh yeah.
She's talking about it with everyone. My favorite line, maybe of all of Grace, is when Meredith says, my sex drive has become my work drive. And then she's like, plus I got that excellent back massager.
Yes. She's got that lovely,
which I'm like, just
vibe.
Get a vibrator, Meredith.
I don't know. People talk about using back massagers all the time. And so maybe it's like a better type
That's
of vibrator.
True. But I did love that my sex drive has become my work drive. I feel like I understand that.
Yeah. Like, or do you think that they couldn't say vibrator on television?
Maybe.
That would be weird, right?
Yeah, that would be weird. But I like that the episode starts with them missing sex. I love that they're in the elevator together and they're backed up to one another. And April says, like, this is grounds for like work harassment.
Yeah.
Which I do feel like, though, the thing I'm okay with about Amelia and Owen.
Wait, I'm sorry. She says, I'm almost positive this constitutes a hostile work
environment. Yes, and she's hungover. Yeah. Yeah, that was perfect. But I think I just like this idea. I don't know. I think I'm okay with this Amelia Owen moment because I do think that they're both like over each other, although I know it doesn't end up that way. But because I feel like they're just literally both miss having sex and they're a safe person to go to.
No, I think it's totally fine. I think if you have had sex with that person in the past and you guys know, like, you just got to get your jollies for a moment, like,
your jollies.
Like, sometimes you need it. And I think that is.
And that Owen was being all, like, very masculine. When he stepped on that guy's neck. Which, like, I get what she was saying.
He stepped on his arm, not his neck.
Okay.
I don't know.
I thought the malpractice guy was going to come in when Owen was doing that.
Yeah.
But I love that Amelia's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is kind of weird that, but I get it. Whatever. I do love too that she just like kind of asks and then for sex and then she thinks like it's really inappropriate and she's like, I'm sorry, like I shouldn't have whatever. And then he shuts the door and that ruined it for me when he says that line.
Yeah, like, if he had just made out with her.
Yeah.
But
when he's like, Amelia,
you could
I want you to use me in every way you can think of using a person or whatever. It's less words, Owen. Less words.
Yeah, like there is a point when words are important.
Yeah.
You can't just be silent, but that was too many words and not the right.
Like, even if he was just like, Amelia, I want you to use me.
Or if he'd have said, I'm gonna use you,
bitch.
So the way that he like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know.
No, it was just, I mean, it's because it's Owen too. Like maybe if Mark Sloan said that or Derek Shepherd.
Yeah. Are we biased?
I don't know. But also the way that they like, he grabbed her and kissed her. And then the way he took his jacket off. I was like, stop it. Stop it, Owen.
Amelia didn't want him to stop.
And they probably didn't stop.
Also, we're going to talk about them in post-op. I forgot.
Also, that girl's ear came off and DeLuca slipped up.
That scene was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, it was so like, stupid, I did laugh.
Yeah, it was very Magoo. Like, everything was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
The best, though, is Richard and Bailey watching it.
Yeah, and laughing about it.
Play it again. Yeah. And then she's like, and the diet is ensuing. Like, that part was incredible.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else either. So, I will say the one thing. One more thing. Arizona gets that information about the C-sections.
Yeah, dude, that was intense.
Yeah, and
when
then
she
brings
approaches
it up
her
to that doctor, and that doctor is like, what are you implying?
The part about like the C-sections happen on a Friday before you go out of town.
Yeah, and you like do double the amount of C-sections of everyone else in the OB.
Which is such an actual problem in the real world of women.
Yes.
Like,
C-sections for convenience.
Yes, exactly.
Because of the doctor. I'm not saying like.
Right, and it costs the hospital Or yeah. Like they get more money.
Yeah. I'm not saying people can make their own choices right. with That's their own different. Health. But like when the doctor like pushes it on someone because they have a vacation to go on. That's
not okay. Yeah. So that was interesting. Also, Karina and Arizona kind of back and forth-y a little bit again.
Mm-hmm.
I did love
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Owen and Karina?
They just stopped having sex.
Did we ever hear about it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because like that just fizzled away.
I mean, she had sex with Owen and she was like, I much prefer Arizona.
Yeah. Okay. Well, head. I mean, that
makes
that's
sense. What I'm writing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Notes and trivia?
Yeah.
This episode's title originated from the song Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, originally sung by Daft Punk.
It scored 7.32 million viewers.
The table read took place November 3rd, 2017.
That was 2 days before my birthday. Aww. This episode was produced as the 11th episode of the season, but aired as the 12th.
So the Bailey heart attack one.
Oh, was supposed to be the...
Right? Yeah, that was right before this.
Yeah, uh-huh.
This episode's title originated from the song You Really Got a Hold on Me, originally sung by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Scored 7.52 million viewers.
The episode introduces Andy Herrera, the main character of the newest spinoff, Station 19.
On the same day, the crossover event between TGIT series Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder also airs.
I remember that because I watched
You
both,
do?
I watched both those shows live, Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. Have you watched either of them?
No.
Oh my God.
I've watched some of Scandal. But I never.
They're both so good.
I almost feel like it's too far to like be
I mean,
in
it's
the
done
zeitgeist
now.
Anymore of like.
Oh, to like rewatch?
Yeah.
Yeah. How to Get Away with Murder was pretty good though.
Okay.
Okay. When Jackson and Arizona are in the hospital's cafeteria, there's a bulletin board that says Mark's Cafe. This is most likely a reference to Dr. Mark Sloan.
Huh. Goof. While in the OR, Andy tells Meredith that her dad is a fire chief, but in the premiere episode of Station 19 that aired 3 weeks later, her dad was revealed to be a fire captain.
Wow.
Okay.
How dare they? The episode's title originated from the song Games People Play, originally sung by Joe South.
Scored a lot less, 7.07 million viewers.
Because crossovers are a bad idea.
Yeah.
Meredith starts looking for information on Marie Cerone in her mother's journal starting around 1982. She previously read the entries around that year to look for clues on Ellis's pregnancy with Maggie, who also read those entries.
Okay.
Catherine Fox, I agree with you.
I said Jackson, looking out for April and for Maggie.
And he changes his research topic to be the gender affirmation surgery, which I think is important. We didn't talk about that much, but I did love Catherine championing her friend.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was important. The whole idea that like, well, this already exists, but it's like, yeah, but we can make it better.
Yeah.
And the mention of like women's, I mean, like there's like 1,000 pills for men to get an erection, but nothing for women to have better sex.
Yeah. And also the thing with Meredith about like Jackson being like, it could help this many people and this would only help this many. And Meredith was like, well, that's kind of a dumb way to look at it, you know, and like did the math of like, you'd still be
70 some million people.
Like that's a lot of people, which I thought was important too, because like, those also, are still people you're helping.
Fast math on Meredith's part.
Yeah. Good job, Mayor.
Okay. I wrote, I thought I hated it, but then I might give it a 7 out of 10 because the end was exciting.
I said the end was so exciting. So I might give it a 7.5. That ending, I know I just kind of shit on the Jackson thing, but literally when that song was playing and all that different stuff was happening and we found out about Meredith's thing.
Yeah, that was
like,
good.
It was just like a good Grey's ending for me with a really good song behind it. And that song is on one of my playlists of...
I wonder when... is this the mid-season finale?
Maybe we're gonna be legendary.
I want to look that up because episode 14, that's pretty like
mid-season.
Yeah, let's see. Episode 14 aired March 8th and then March 15th. No, the mid-season finale was, where did it just go? The mid-season finale was actually the Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, the first episode we watched.
Oh.
And then we had a month off. Actually, yeah. Oh, no, there was a break. No, episode 8. This is a weird... There's only 24 episodes this season. And it looks like they skipped some weeks. Amount? I guess there was... Oh, yeah, episode 8 was out of nowhere was the mid-season.
Oh,
but it's only 2 months.
That's odd.
Yeah, so anyways.
Okay. Well, if you are a $10 patron, stick around for post-op. We're going to talk about Sam and DeLuca. If you're not a patron, consider being one. It's in the show notes. We appreciate you.
Time of death is 2045.
Beep. Beep.